Morning, Emmaus. Morning. All right. Welcome. My name is Leonard Small. Inside of your church bulletin, you'll see this little white slip of paper. We're going to do our morning offering. If you're a visitor here, you're under no obligation. We just please ask that you fill this out to let us know you're here. How many churches in Jacksonville?
One.
But around the world is how many?
One.
All right. So today we're going to be praying for just the body of Christ as a whole, especially for the churches that are in Paris. Moments like these, especially when if you're a little skeptical about God and why things happen, you quickly go to worry. And I don't think that's God's will for our life. I think God wants us to go to worship. And the hard part about times like this when things happen is to go to that place of worship and not worry. And what should we be worshiping God in the midst of tragedy? We should be worshiping the idea that he is going to return to right the wrong. And so if he's going to return to right the wrong, we can praise him because all of the injustices, all of the pain, all of the suffering, all the things that we say in our hearts that need to be made right will be. Amen? Amen. And that's a beautiful thing, and that's praiseworthy. Amen? All right, so again, I'm going to fill that out. So let us go ahead and ask the ushers come on up front. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just thank you today for waking us up, for being a good father who provides so richly for us here on this side of the globe. We are living in relative comfort, and sometimes that comfort can be our worst enemy because we have brothers and sisters around the globe who are running from persecution, that are running from pain and suffering and murder and killing. But Lord, instead of us going to a place of worry, let us go to a place of worship and honor and praise of you, because one day all will be made right. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Paris who are struggling right now to find hope and to find some sense of solace and security at this time. We pray for the churches there that they remain strong and continue to preach the gospel. Pray for their pastors, their leaders, that they do not hide in fear, but stand boldly for the gospel. For these are dark days, and in dark days we don't hide. In dark days we shine brighter. And we just thank you for these and many other blessings in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right. Inside of your church bulletin, I'm going to some key points right now. We have some meals for our foster families. Information's in there. If you know how hard it is to raise your own children, all right, think about taking on the burden and responsibility of raising a kid that is in need. We have a couple families here that are going to require some meals over the holidays just to relieve that burden from them. The information's in there. Our next Guatemala mission trip is coming up in January. Information's in there. Prices and contact info. It was actually Vic, and a sign-up sheet is in the cafe. We have our next young adults gathering on Sunday, November 22nd at 2 at the Tillmans. Whoop, whoop. All right, here we go. Okay, all right, sorry. Young adults? One? None? We have none. All right, if I said 50s, wow, that's a shame. All right. 40-somethings, woo! young adults, wake up, drink some more coffee. Going to meet at the Tillmans. And Operation Christmas Child, for those of you who want to participate, it's an awesome ministry. If you have a box, go ahead and bring that in next Sunday. And for those of you who have not picked up one, it's in the cafe, and last Sunday is the last Sunday to participate. Also, today, I will be presenting my... this thing I'm doing called Mosaic Church, and amen. this whole idea, Vic already spoke it up, but just the whole idea of broken things being made beautiful through Christ, and if I got to heaven and there was racism, murder, death, separation, and pain, I wouldn't want to be there. And so if I were to go to heaven and see that, then I'd say, you know what, I could have stayed on earth. But I think God allows us, the body of Christ, to take this broken world, broken people, whether it's racist, socioeconomic, no matter what the differences are, he's going to bring us together. And it's all done through the gospel. Amen. And so if y'all come out and just hear my heart, I think we can do some great things in the city of Jacksonville. God bless.
All right. Good morning. A couple of things. Operation Christmas Child, opportunity to provide not just a Christmas for kids, but also share the gospel with them. When you pick up the boxes out there, they need to be returned next Sunday. So if you would consider taking part in that, it'd be a tremendous blessing beyond what we may ever know this side of heaven. So it'd be great to get involved with that. And tonight at 6, as Leonard, you know, we have that informational meeting. You know, even if it's, as I said last few weeks, even if it's not something where you feel like you're being called to go and be a part of that, if you just want to hear about it or hear how maybe you can support through prayer or giving, come on out. We'll share, he's going to share the heart of what it feels like God's called him to do through Mosaic Church. So we'd love to see you there. we already kind of talked about the events this weekend in Paris, and you know, as we've said numerous times, it's so easy to forget how blessed we are by the peace we have here. I spent Friday night with a bunch of little kids, Cub Scouts, camping out. Anything but peace, okay? But the reality is, you know, is there, we stayed overnight Friday night, we were there Saturday, and went pretty much the whole time without even knowing about what was going on in another part of the world and the struggle that was going on until after leaving there. And we live in a place where that's, for the most part, the blessing we have. Now, that's not to say that we haven't experienced this kind of thing on our own soil, and not to say that we won't again. But we are a blessed people, and we have an opportunity to be a blessing to the world. And a lot of times we think, well, we can do that through giving and going, and that's important. Certainly, but as we pray to a God who is here and who moves and who responds. And so, yes, you can pray for peace and pray for comfort of those people who've experienced just that tragedy, and we need to do that. But what you often don't hear is for people to say, you know, pray for the people who are doing this stuff. Pray for the people whose hearts are just blinded. Scripture says that the enemy has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so they cannot see truth. And the same Jesus that we worship, who died for our sins, died for their sins as well. And they're blind and they're bound by the enemy. And so out of a misplaced faith, they do crazy things. But God still loves those people, and Jesus still died for those people. And that might be hard for us to grasp at times, but when Jesus went to the cross, the people who hung him on the cross, he died for those people. What did he do when he was hanging up on the cross? The ones who were right there, who put him there, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And so I think we just need to have the heart of God. You guys probably heard where Jeb Bush was asked the question, you know, if you had a chance to kill Hitler as a baby, what would you do? Did you hear when he was asked that? Well, one of my friends, he's the pastor, somebody asked him that this week. So what would you do if you had a chance to kill Hitler as a baby? And he's like, man, I'm not killing babies. I'm not killing anyone. That's kind of an easy question, you know. What if you had a chance to kill Hitler as an adult, and you knew what he was going to do, or you saw some of the atrocities, and you were in a room, and you had a chance to take him out, what would you do? It's a little tougher question, right? And a number of you in this room, I know your answer, okay? There's a number of you in this room who are packing heat this morning. And I want to say I'm thankful for you. I really am. I feel safe. I'm thankful. And there's a reason you have that, right? I mean, so I probably know your answer. But here's the thing. Why is it that we always say, man, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to live like Jesus. He's the model. And if I were to sit down in front of Jesus, say, Jesus, now, if you were to run into Hitler and you were in a room, and you being Jesus, knowing everything about him, and you had a chance to take him out, what would you do? What would he do? Don't answer. You know what he would do. Because he is Jesus, and he could have took him out before he ever did any of that stuff. Why is it that, man, you know, I want to be like Jesus until these moments where I'm like, man, I know what I would do. It's not about what we would do. It's about what he would do. It's about what he wants us to do. And so I just want to challenge us with that. Man, you know, I'm just so tired of politics and opinions and things that creep into the church. And we start thinking, man, every Christian has to believe like this. And, you know, the last time I checked, you know, everyone who's a Christian has to have faith in the one true God and his son who came and died for this world. And his heart is a heart of love. And he does want to see that peace. But, man, it often comes in different ways than we would think. And don't get me wrong. I'm so thankful for our country. I'm thankful for everyone who serves and has ever served in the armed forces. You know, so I know this gets to be kind of a jumbled mess, but we all have to go, God, how do we respond in this situation? You said we're supposed to love you and love our neighbor as ourselves. How do we do that? It's not always an easy answer, but I know the heart of God, scripture says, it's his heart, it's his will that all men and women be saved. That's his desire, but we live in this broken, sinful world, so that doesn't happen. But as much as it depends on us, we're told to live at peace with all men and to believe that God can change the heart of someone who's furthest from him. So I'm going to pray this morning. I'm going to pray for all those things we talked about, but I also want to pray believing that God could take the heart of someone who's a leader in ISIS and change that heart and change people through those people. Man, I was running from God. I was so far from God when God got a hold of me. Some of you have a similar story. There's no one who's too far from God. Let's not forget that. And let's let God be God, because he's a just God, and he will do what needs to be done. And in the end, we will see that justice as we stand before him. But until then, let us be people who believe and have hope, trust in the blood of Christ and have faith in Christ, a faith that heals and that resurrects the dead and changes hearts, even the hardest of hearts. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. And your word says that we should never forget the grace that's been extended to us. And out of that grace and out of that love that's been extended to us, we're supposed to love others. And God, even those who have their backs turned toward you, are running from you, are fighting against you. I think of those Coptic Christians who experienced loved ones being martyred, and in the midst of the most difficult of situations, still worshiped you, and actually said, and we saw video, it was a few months ago, but video of those people, and the audio of them saying, they didn't know what they were doing when they killed our loved ones, but they ushered them into the presence of God. God, let us have hearts that believe the things we say, that they believe them that much. As we read your word today, bring that to a realization to all of us. God, soften the hearts of those who are turned against you. Not just those who we talk about who are fighting against you, but God, the ones that we know here, loved ones that we have, whose hearts are hardened, soften their hearts. God, soften our hearts. Help us to be people who believe. Help us to be people who pray, really believing. We don't put our trust in horses, chariots, armies, or anything like that. Our trust is in the one true living God. And we put our faith in you because you're trustworthy. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we've been going through a series through the book of Hebrews called Jesus is Better. And basically, as we've seen going through Hebrews, Jesus being God in the flesh, he's better than all the prophets, all the priests. He ushered in a new covenant, which was much better than the old covenant. The old covenant where animals needed to be killed in order for God to look past the sins of his people, and that debt to ultimately be paid by Christ. Everything, it says in Hebrews, was a picture of what was to come. So all that Old Testament worship, the killing of those animals, all of the things we saw in the temple were a foreshadowing or a picture of what was to come in Jesus. He was the embodiment of that. So now there's no longer a need for sacrifice physically. Jesus was that one sacrifice once and for all. So our faith needs to be put in him. When we trust him, he forgives us of all our sin, past, present, future. And we trust him for our salvation. And so it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And Leonard spoke the week before when we were in this series. And as we were in Hebrews 10, we saw this warning. If you reject Jesus, the one and only sacrifice, if you reject him, there's no other sacrifice left for sin, okay? So the people who reject Jesus and serve these quote-unquote other gods, whether it be Allah or whoever, there's no sacrifice left for sins. There's no forgiveness. So all they have, that scripture said, is a fearful judgment awaiting them. It says it's a dreadful thing or a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay, so Jesus makes the one sacrifice, and it's by faith in him alone that we can be saved. So the writer of Hebrews says, trust fully in him. Don't give up meeting together, okay, like some people do. He says you're supposed to encourage one another, to spur one another on to love and good deeds, to help each other grow in your relationship with God, to push each other toward Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. And he goes, when times get tough, don't give up. Persevere. We're not like the people who throw in the towel and give up, he says. We're the ones who persevere. So I'm going to pick up in Hebrews 10, 36 to 39 as a little bit of review, and then we're going to move into Hebrews 11. Hebrews 10, verse 36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. So he's like, hang in there. Persevere, keep the faith. Once you have done the will of God, you're going to receive what he's promised because his promises are true. Look at verse 37. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So he's going, don't grow weary, don't be impatient, keep the faith because the one who is coming, he will come. God will make good on his promises, okay? They are promises and they will come to pass. And the people with true faith will persevere. Other scripture tells us he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So we're of people who do not give up but who persevere. And the Bible says a lot about faith. It says that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. It also says that we're to live by faith. So it's not just this one-time act of faith and trusting in God, crossing that line, and then we just go and live our lives. No, we're saved by grace through faith, and it's by faith that we're called to live. Okay? So biblical saving faith is not just something that affects your eternal destiny, right? So like I put my faith in Jesus and then I go to live my life. That's not real biblical saving faith. Biblical saving faith is a faith that believes in God, in his son whom he sent, who pays the price for our sin, who believes that he is Lord, and then lives for him and lives that out. See, that's the evidence of true faith. It's not living it out. It's not the works that saves you. It's putting your trust in him. But if you've done that, then it's going to move you to do something. So to be a Christian, to be a person of faith, is not someone who puts their belief or has a mere mental assent to a historical, biblical account of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's not what it means to be a Christian. Like, okay, I read about that, and I believe that was true, and now I just go to live my life. But I believe that, okay? That's not true biblical saving faith. What is it then, okay? Now, the writer of Hebrews is going to tell us what faith really is. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 3. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Okay, so let's stop right there. All right, so he tells us what faith really is. And remember, in the end of chapter 10, he goes, listen, those of us who have faith are those who persevere. We don't shrink back. We persevere by faith, okay? And we are the ones who live by faith. And then he goes, now this is what faith looks like. It's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, confidence and assurance. Now, these are pretty strong words, all right? Let's look at what they mean. Confidence. The feeling of being certain that something will happen or that something is true. Okay? That's confidence. Being certain that something will happen or that something is true. Assurance. Full confidence. Freedom from doubt. A certainty based on evidence. Okay? So if we put that together, this is what faith looks like. Faith is being certain of what we hope for and full assurance of what we do not see based on the evidence that we have. And the writer says, this is what the ancients, the ones who lived before you, this is what they were commended for. Those who went before you, they were commended for their faith. Okay, they knew that God was real. They had experienced him in some way. So that was the evidence. They experienced him in some way. They knew that he was real. He wasn't just a God that they read about in some book and they said, yeah, I believe that happened a couple thousand years ago. They're like, no, he's real. He's had an impact on my life. He's in some way revealed himself to me. And so I know that I know that I know that I know that he is the one true God. Okay? So if you haven't had some kind of experience like that, where you've prayed and you see God, seen God answer prayer, if you're just going on something you read in a book, how are you going to persevere to the end? When persecution comes, I mean, is some story going to get you through when someone puts a gun to your head and says, deny Jesus as Lord? Ain't no way. If it's just about some story, I'm going, man, I'll say anything, right? But if I've had an experience with God, and he's changed my life, and he's changed my heart. I don't care how many guns are pointed at my head. I'm going to go, I know that I know that I know what's true, because he has changed my life. He's impacted my life. And I believe it so much that, I mean, he can cause guns not to fire. He can, you know, he can do all these things, but like, you know, like the scripture says, even though he slay me, I'm going to praise him. I am not going to shrink back. See, that's true saving faith. Now, are we all there and have that strong of faith all the time? No. But when you have that level of certainty because you've experienced him, you've heard his voice in some way, maybe not audibly, probably not audibly, but you've seen him work. You've seen him change situations. You've seen him resurrect relationships that you thought were dead. You've seen him bring back the prodigal, and you've seen lives change. You go, man, I know that I know that I know God is real because I've seen him at work. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So we know that God created all of this, okay? If there was a big bang, it's only because God pulled the trigger, all right? And he didn't, you know, it says he spoke it into existence, okay? I mean, that's what happened. And so he created the universe, but he also created us. And he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And when we start believing that and understanding that, how can we say, yeah, I believe God created everything. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for my sins. I put my faith in him. He's forgiven me. His spirit's come and lives inside of me. It's not about some story in a book. This is about a God who's alive today. Okay, now the story may go back a couple thousand years, but it's about a God who's alive today. and whose spirit was working among us today. His spirit's living inside of me today, and I see him do things around me, okay? So when I believe that to be true, and I have confidence and assurance that he created everything, he created me, and there's purpose in this life, when I start really believing that and I have that kind of faith, then how can I sit around and just not do anything with that? It's kind of like if you had terminal cancer and you found the cure and it was something that was just around you in everyday life and it was free and you used it and it cured you and you knew it would help people around you and you just said, man, that's great that I got cured and I'm, you know, that's awesome. Now I'm going to just go hang out with the grandkids and get a place down by the lake or, you know. What would you do if you found that? You'd tell people, right? You got loved ones. You got people you know who have cancer. You'd go and you'd do something about it because you experienced it. You knew it was real. You knew it could help the world. Well, what are we doing with this faith that we have? If it's really faith. See, because the problem is maybe we don't really believe that. Maybe we don't. You know, it's really easy. It's too easy, I think, to say, I believe in Jesus in our country. I'm glad it's easy to a certain degree, but then sometimes it scares me. Okay? It does. I mean, because I go, I don't know what you guys think. I really don't. Because I don't live with you. And I don't know the decisions you make. But if you just show up on Sunday and go, yeah, I believe that stuff in the book, and, you know, and you go and live your life, and I'm going, James goes, you know, hey, be careful because even the demons believe and they shudder. See, they have there's a belief that's not true saving faith and you got to be careful. James 2 says this, 14 to 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, slap them upside the head. No, it doesn't say that. But, I mean, if someone says that, right, what good is it? Look at verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. We're not saved by works. Let me make that clear. We are not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. However, saving faith will naturally take some kind of action. You will do something with it. It only makes sense. It has to. You find the cure for cancer. You have to tell people about it. And I'm not saying every one of you needs to be, you know, a street preaching corner evangelist or anything like that. But man, if something has happened to you and you found the hope of the world and your life's been transformed and your sin's been forgiven, how could you do nothing about that? I'm just sharing scripture with you. Now listen, this is convicting to me because I don't live this every day either. And I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm just talking about getting off our rear end and doing something. You know, just sharing with people. And then, you know, if you go, I really have no unction to do that, then I want you to do this. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself and go, do I really know you? Like, yeah, do I have this hope and this confidence and this assurance that he is who he said he is and he's shown himself to me and I believe this all to be true? If someone's certain that God created everything and they have full assurance that he sent his son who was present at creation, he was there, he stepped out of heaven. If you believe that he came to this earth and he died for the sins of the world, which includes all of our sins, and he did that because he loves us. Now, if I really believe that to be true, it's going to change me and it's going to cause me to do something. It may cause me to do things that are crazy in the eyes of this world. If you were here last week, you heard from Elizabeth Arnold. His family's lived in Senegal for 24 years to share the love of Jesus with an area that's predominantly Muslim. And over 24 years, they've seen 3 converts, I think they said. Why does somebody do that? I mean, why do you do that, right? the Steeds and the Johnsons moving their family to Guatemala to show the love of Jesus to people who are poor and oppressed in different ways. I mean, why do you do that? Why does a place like Trinity Rescue Mission exist to help meet the needs of people in our city? They do it because they know that he is real and he's touched their lives and he's changed them and he's pushed them to go and do something. Now listen, all of us aren't called to do that. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I mean, that's the reality, right? We're not all called to do that, but if we know him and he's done something in our lives, we need to do something. Maybe we're the people who help send those people. Maybe we're the people who go and serve at Trinity Rescue Mission. Maybe we're the people who give to put clothes on those who don't have clothes. We do something as simple as taking a shoebox and filling it up and praying over that and sending it and trusting that God's going to use that. I mean, we do something. I just hope that we believe what God has said, not because it's stories we've heard since we were this big, but because we've experienced him in some way. And that word experience may scare some of you, like, I don't know, Vic, it's all this emotion and experience thing, and, you know, the lights go down, we sing songs, and listen, God is God, okay? By definition, like, God is, Levi said earlier, when he said, Moses, like, who should I say you are? I am, okay? And so when he moves in our lives, it impacts all of us. Mind, will, emotions, everything. See, when God says, I know who I am, right? I know who Vic is in the flesh. I know my past. And when God says, listen, through my son, you are forgiven of all of that stuff. It's all wiped clean, and I'm calling you my child. If I understand that, that'll move me emotionally. You know how kids are impacted when you go to a baseball game or a soccer game for your daughter, and you go, and when you're there cheering them on, and you're there at the end, and you're with them, you know how that impacts children? You know how it impacts children who don't have anybody there for them? I mean, it impacts them. It impacts their emotions. It impacts their lives. Why would I think that that wouldn't happen when it comes to my spiritual life with my spiritual father? It impacts all of me. All right, I'm running out of time, but I'm going to run through a big portion of scripture here. Because in Hebrews 11, at the beginning, when he tells us what faith is, he goes, that's what the ancients were commended for. So let me give you a snapshot of what their lives were like. Now, this next passage of scripture, this could be a whole series of sermons in and of itself, but I'm just going to walk through it, and I'm going to get us to the end, and hopefully in just a few minutes, bring it all together, okay? Verse 4, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Look at verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, don't miss this nugget here, okay? You cannot please God by your works. He's not impressed by them, okay? He's not keeping score. He threw out the scorecard when Jesus died on the cross, okay? So by faith, again, we're saved by grace through that faith, okay? But he is saying it'll cause us to do something. And those who have this faith, they believe. They believe that he is who he says he is, and that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him in this life and in the life to come. Okay? Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Okay? Now, that's a crazy one, right? Noah didn't build the ark because rainy season was kind of, you know, rough that year. He built the ark because God said, build the ark. in a dry area. And for years and years, his faith moved him to action. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. See, Abraham was looking forward to something beyond this world, and so should we. Verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. God told Abraham to go, and Abraham went, not knowing what was in store for him. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's stop there. See, they weren't looking at the here and now. It says they were living by faith when they died, and they didn't receive the promises. So they didn't receive it all this side of heaven. Not all the blessing comes this side of heaven. So when someone is preaching a message and continually telling you, hey, God wants to do this for you, God wants to do that for you, give God this and he'll give you that, it's about your best life now, that is a bunch of garbage based on what the scripture says. He loves you and he does give you blessings. But some of these people, man, they lived and they didn't see those blessings this side of heaven. It says they longed for a country that was not their own. And get this, this will hit you hard, right? As a proud American, as I am, they longed for a better country. I mean, think of all the blessings, everything we have here. And he goes, no, there's something better, way better. Live for that. And when you live for that, it's going to cause you to do something. If you really believe that, again, going back to true faith, am I assured? Do I really believe it? Do I believe that the people who've gone before me will be there when I breathe my last breath, those who have trusted in Jesus? Do I really believe that? Because if I do, it changes everything. It changes the way I view everything here. Let me jump down to verse 32. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and who became powerful, or who escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life. Now listen, that's all awesome stuff, right? I want that. That happened this side of heaven. That's great. Those are incredible blessings. But he goes on, there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so they might gain an even better resurrection. Look at verse 36. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Look at verse 38. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. I mean, do we really believe this stuff? Because I'm going to tell you what. When someone who's living in Iran or Afghanistan, going through what they're going through, and they read this, this is what keeps them going. someone who's a believer in Jesus, and they read, this is real to them today. For us, this is like, man, this is stories of a couple thousand years ago. No, this is real to them today. Some of them face jeers and flogging, chains, imprisonment. They're put to death. They're sawed in two. Their heads are cut off. The loved ones are killed before their very eyes. This is real. And he goes, man, the world was not worthy of them. See, there's something more. There's something more beyond this world, and we have to see that. We have to believe that. We have to see it by faith. And if we don't, we're just going to go through the motions. We're just going to live for ourselves. And if we do see it, man, we have an opportunity to change the world. See, the way you respond to heartache, to pain is different when you know the God who holds it all in his hand, when you know the end game, when you know that when you breathe your last breath, those loved ones who've gone before you, those babies that have died, that they'll be there with him in that place. No more pain, no more suffering. See, that's the hope we have. Now, this side of heaven, we will experience some blessing. We just read about some of it, and that's great. But we don't all have that story. Some of us struggle. And we'll all struggle at different times, and it's how we handle that struggle. Levi, I'm going to ask you guys if you guys will come back up. I'm going to wrap up with this. Verse 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of the faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's like, man, look at all this, the people who've gone before us. Take that into account. Look at their stories. And yeah, some of them experienced incredible blessing and God working miraculous things in their lives. But don't forget, they didn't get the promise this side of heaven. They all died still living in faith and not experiencing it fully. And ultimately, make sure you keep your eyes on who? On Jesus. The pioneer, the author, and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who started it, and he's the one who brings it to end fulfillment for us. Keep our eyes fixed on him who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And what was that joy set before him? I believe it's what we're talking about today. It's that we could find that saving faith where our sin can be forgiven, where we can have that relationship with God, where he looks at us as a son, as a daughter, adopts us into his family. And in the end, we're one with him. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That joy is every man, woman, and child who put their faith in Christ. That joy is all of us sitting in these seats. That's what encouraged Jesus. That's what helped him as he endured all of this. He knew it was the Father's plan. He surrendered to it. And the joy that we would have a relationship with him. And then we would share that with people. Consider him so that you don't lose heart. Consider all the injustice that he faced when you face injustice. Consider the beating that he took. Consider all of his struggles. Consider that so you don't grow weary and lose heart. Because there's a better country that's for all of us, and we should be living for that. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're gonna close. And in just a minute, I'm going to pray for us that we get that somehow God just reveals this to us by his Spirit, that we understand who he is, the great I am, and who we are, and how he wants to use those of us who live by faith for him. But let me share this with you real quick. So this past week, I went to a funeral. Maurice Samples, his father, who I believe was 91. Is that right, Maurice? And Maurice's daddy was born deaf, and in the latter part of his life went blind, had sight issues his whole life. So I sit in this funeral of this man who, I mean, so he's 91. So he's born deaf. Think of being born in the 20s, not all these technological advances, all this stuff. And I hear people sharing, getting up, sharing stories at his funeral. And as they share of the joy, I mean, it was over and over again of the joy that he had, the love that he had for people. It was like they were going through and listing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. I'm hearing it from all these people. And I'm going, man. And to think how discouraged I get about the most petty things. To think about how when we face a little bit of a trial, we often, we often throw in the towel on our faith, so to speak. And I'm sitting there going, man, I just hope, I'd like to just hear, I hope one or two people say something even half as good as what I've heard in that moment about me. I mean, because it's not going to be about, oh, Vic, preached to a bunch of people at Emmaus Church and, spoke a bunch of times. And now what are my kids going to say? And when they were talking about him, all I kept thinking about was, sounds like Jesus. Sounds like Jesus. Sounds like Jesus. And he lived his life to the full with what was dealt to him and impacted all kinds of people. So that's, please hear me today. That's what I'm saying. If you have faith that he is who he says he is and that he came and that he died for you and he loves you, then take that and do something with it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Continue to fall in love with him. And then, God, what do you want me to do? And then go and do it. Share that love with people around you. Let's pray. God, give us a glimpse of who you are. God, help us to believe that what we see in the here and now, this is not the end game. God, that everything we read in the scripture is true. It's not some old stories of some religion that we believe in. It all leads us to you, the one true God. And we bow our knees and we bow our hearts to you and say, God, forgive us for our lack of faith. Give us that assurance. Give us that confidence. And when we have it, that we'd be able to look this world in the eye and whatever it may throw at us, knowing that you love us and that you'll see us through. And in the end, even if we were to be like one of these persecuted, beaten, God, in the end, we look forward to a better country and a better home. And help us to share that with people around us who need to hear it. You're the great I am. Help us to believe that that's true. And to believe that you, the creator of the universe, the great I am, loves us. Calls us sons and daughters. Help us to worship you.